A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Teich Ten Fit Talmud. Baba Basra Kuf Lamed Aleph, Baba Basra 131a, pagination is 261, starting from the second line, Bo'i Rava. Rava asked the following question. Bivori Heyach, what would the halacha be with a healthy person? We just discussed that according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka, there's a concept that as a Yerusha, as an inheritance, there is biyom hanchilo espanov, the ability to prioritize and give more to one inheritor, one Yoresh, over the other. What would happen if a person is not doing that as a shchiv meira on his deathbed, in which case Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka certainly holds that it does work, but what would happen if he was doing it as a bari, as a healthy person, and he, through the words of Yerusha, as an inheritance, wants to grant a greater portion to one person over the other to be effective as a Yerusha when he dies? Ki kama Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka, when did Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka say his rule, b'shchiv meira, when a person is dying, debar orusehu, that the concept of inheritance makes sense? Avo bivori lo, but by a healthy person, generally the word Yerusha isn't the correct wording, it does not going to work. O dilma afilu bivori nami, or maybe Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka would allow such a concept even by a healthy person, to use the words Yirash Sada Plonis, he should inherit a certain field. Omle Rav Misharshia L'Rava, Rav Misharshia said to Rava, Tashma, come in here, I have a proof that the concept of Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka exists even by a bari, when a person is alive and well and healthy. Da'omo l'Rebbe Nosson l'Rebbe. Rabbi Nosson said to Rebbe, Shenisem mishnaschem k'Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka. There's a mishnah that's being presented like Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka. What's the mishnah? The Tanan, we learned. Lo kosev lo benin dichrin dehavu lich minoi, inun yarsun, kesef k'suvach sich, Yoser al chul kehon de'im achuhon. Let's translate carefully. If the husband, in the ksuba written to his wife, did not write the following, your male children that will be born from you, from me, us together, they should inherit the amount of your ksuba more than their portion together with their other brothers. Chayiv, he's still going to be obligated in that commitment, Shetanai Bezdin Hu, because it's a condition that Bezdin imposes. What is the case that we're talking about? A man is getting married to a woman, and we want the father of this woman to give a generous dowry towards the success of this marriage, the financial success of this marriage. If she should die before him, the husband, then he inherits, the husband inherits all of these assets. When the husband dies, his children will inherit the assets. The problem that concerns us is that they will inherit the assets equally. That means that if he has sons from this first wife, whose dowry we're now discussing in anticipation of lifetime that's going to follow, and then, as we said, there's a possibility this woman dies before him, and then he marries another woman, has children from that second woman, and then he dies. So then he's got children from the first wife and children from the second wife. And the concern in anticipation of lifetime that exists at the time of the first marriage and when the father-in-law is choosing what kind of dowry to give is that if these assets will stay in his family, meaning they'll go to his grandchildren, the children of this man and his first wife. So then he's okay. He's going to give generously, and he figures whatever doesn't go to my wife, to my daughter, I mean, the wife in the family, will go to the children, the grandchildren of the person who's giving, and he's fine with that. But he's very uncomfortable to think that he might end up giving his daughter this dowry, and it could be that all of these assets are going to end up in the hands of the children of his son-in-law from the second wife. And therefore, there's a restriction being placed here in the Ksuba that the children from the first wife should inherit these assets being brought into the marriage. The Mishnah is stating that if this was omitted from the Ksuba, it's still going to take effect, Shetanai Bezdin, because Bezdin imposes this rule for the greater good. They want the assets given from what's now going to be the grandfather to go to his grandchildren exclusively when the former son-in-law passes away. Va'amalo Rebbe, and Rebbe answered, Yisfun Tanan. Instead of saying the word yarsun, which means inherit, it should be the word give. What's the issue over here? If the word yarsun is being used, that means the word inherit is being used well before these children even exist, and certainly well before the husband is anywhere near dying. There are a lot of things that are going to happen first. They're going to have children together, then the wife is going to die, then he's going to remarry, then he's going to have more children, and then he's going to die. That's when this yarsun would apply. And he's already saying the word yarsun now in the ksuba with the first wife. Clearly, you're following the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, that you could do Yerusha preferential to one child over the other. And Rav Misharshia is saying, clearly, the word Yerusha works by a healthy person. And Rebbe answered back, Yasfuntana. No, it's not a Yerusha, it's a gift, which would avoid this entire topic. For Omar Rebbe, and Rebbe said, Yaldus Haisabi, that was a youthful thing, an immature thing. Ve'ha'asti pane b'nasan habavli. I responded improperly to Nasan Habavli when he brought this topic up to me. Ela dekaimalan b'nindichrin lo torfa mimishabdi, because there's a rule that these children from the first wife who are going to get their mother's ksuba, they do not take as a lien for from assets that existed throughout the marriage. If it's a gift from early on, then their loan, so to speak, predates all the assets, the given the take during the marriage, and they should be able to take as a lien from the time of the original ksuba. Elishmami no, Rabbi said, you know, he's right. Yarsun tanan, it's acting as an inheritance because it doesn't become active until the former son-in-law's death, until the father's death. But in any case, man shamat le de islei ha'isvara, who is the opinion that you could work with a Yerusha during lifetime, preferring one child over the other? Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. It must be they're following Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Shema Minafi Lebevari, and it works even by a healthy person because it's taking effect as part of the Ksuba when they're starting out together. Omalir of Papa La Abaye, Rav Papa said to Abaye, Bein lemanda omar yusfun, bein lemanda omar yarsun, whether you say it's a gift or you say it's an inheritance, at the time of the ksuba, at the time that this husband and wife are getting married, Ha'ino de makna davar shalo bali olam. You can't grant something that's not in the world. Va'afilu l'Reb Meir, and I know you'll ask me, Reb Meir holds the makna davar shalo bali olam, that, for example, there's whole discussion of selling produce before it actually grows, but when you expect it to grow, you could sell the pears on the pear tree, even though they haven't grown yet, because they're expected to grow. And different types of concepts where you could sell something that's not here yet. But that's only to give it to somebody that exists. But no one holds that you could be makne to a child that has not yet even been conceived. Elatan Ibezdin, shiny. It must be that this is all working because the Bezdin imposed it. Hachanami Tanai Bezdin shiny. And here also, it's a Bezdin legislation that it should work as an inheritance, even though this husband, son-in-law at the time, would not be able to effectuate any such transaction because you can't, as a person trying to grant it to someone who doesn't even exist yet, and therefore this entire thing doesn't prove anything. But the word yarsun is being used. The Gemara continues, Abaye said, Lav milsi da amri. It actually is different than any conclusion that we're drawing over here. The Tanan, because we have a different rule regarding the word yarsun during a person's lifetime. If a person says, the females that are going to be born from our union will have the right to benefit from the assets and be supported until they get married. Even if he doesn't write that into the ksuba, he's still going to be obligated shehu tanai bezdin, because it's an obligation imposed by bezdin. Says Abaye, v'hava lezeh b'matana v'lezeh b'yerusha. We had a rule before that if a person in the same wording uses the word yerusha and uses the word matana, says inheritance, says gift, then it's v'chola zeb yerusha v'lazeb b'matana afilu rabbanan modu, it's going to work as a gift, even though the word yerusha, inheritance, was used. And therefore Abaye says, since these two takanas were made by Bezdin, and we're going to view them as joined together, and both of them imposed in the ksuba, so even though one uses the word Yerusha and one uses the word Matana, they're both going to be conjoined under the word Matana as a gift, and they're going to work as such, as a gift, and they'll work even though they're being done during lifetime. Indeed, in Shulchan Aruch, the ruling is, Siman Resh Pei Aleph, Si'if Hei, Im Haya Bari, if the man is a healthy person, he is not able to impact the Yerusha, the inheritance, not to give the firstborn more or less, and not to impact the other inheritors, because the entire concept of Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka is strictly b'yom hanchilo, at the time of the inheritance, meaning the deathbed, and otherwise such ability does not exist. Yeshe Koach, thank you for joining.